And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can take the show with you on demand 24/7 by checking out the Nick Craig Show podcast, available in all of your favorite podcast apps. Just search for the show, tap the subscribe or follow button and take a new program with you each and every weekday morning. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on in the show this morning. Well, welcome into the month of June, crossing the six-month mark of 2025. And boy, do we have a busy show for you this morning. Before we get into any of what has been a wild news weekend, both internationally and here domestically, quick reminder once again that today, this afternoon, 4 p.m. at the New Hanover County Courthouse, the historic courthouse downtown, the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners is set to meet to discuss the proposed 25-26 or the 26 budget that will be taking place again at 4 p.m. this afternoon. We're looking at major tax increases for vast majorities of residents across New Hanover County. If you're available this afternoon, I encourage you to make your way down to the courthouse, sign up for the public comment, and make sure that your voice is heard. Again, there's this idea that the government inherently knows what people think. It's just not really the way that it works. So if this is something you're passionate about, something obviously we've been covering a lot over the last couple of weeks, encourage you to show up to that meeting today. Again, 4 o'clock that down at the New Hanover County Courthouse. And I'll be there. I'll be speaking at that. Many of you probably doing so as well. We'll do a full recap of what the public comment is and what the reaction is from members of the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners coming up for you tomorrow morning. Let's kick it off in Colorado this morning, where we've got a horrific situation unfolding as an Egyptian national who came into the country 2 years ago and overstayed his visa, being here illegally, has been charged in a gruesome terror attack that left 8 people injured. This happening in Boulder, Colorado, yesterday afternoon. The 45-year-old man by the name of Mohammed Solomon was arrested at the scene after he allegedly set his victims on fire as they peacefully rallied on behalf of Israeli hostages still being held by Hamas in Gaza. I wish I could sit here this morning and tell you that I am shocked or surprised that something like this happened, but I'm not. And it really, and I mean this genuinely, it really pains me that I'm not surprised that this happened. You have, and I have watched, everybody across the country has watched the narrative and the words that are said ratcheted up over the last couple of years as it relates to the ongoing conflict between Israel and, I'll remind you once again, the Iranian-backed terror group known as Hamas that is operating in Gaza. Just one more time, set the record on this. The Iranian-backed terror group known as Hamas. Not just some random guys in the Middle East. No, a group that is backed by the largest state sponsor of terror, which is, of course, Iran. And you've seen the protests. You've watched the insanity unfold on college campuses across the U.S. back last year. You've watched in these major progressive hellholes across the country of these pro-Palestinian, so-called pro-Palestinian protesters who have nothing to say about freeing Palestine. They could give a damn. I can promise you, if you showed them a map, they could not tell you where the Gaza Strip was. I'm not even sure they could point to where Israel is on a map. They're not interested in freeing Palestine. They're not interested in supporting, the people of Gaza that are just being, unfairly treated by the Israeli government. They don't give a crap about any of that. They really don't. They are interested in one thing and one thing only, continuing to use these phrases, continuing to use this kind of rhetoric to continue to push forward a growing problem on the left-wing side of the political aisle, and that's anti-Semitism. Now, let me be perfectly clear with this. I have plenty of concerns about the United States' relationship with Israel. I think their various super PACs have way too much influence over the U.S. government. And I think there needs to be serious discussions long term about that influence. No question about that at all. But what you've seen on the left over the last, call it 16 months or so, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less, is growing anti-Semitism. And they, of course, masquerade it by saying, oh, well, we're not, you know, we don't hate the Jews. We don't hate Israel. We're for freeing Palestine, right? The signs, you know, LGBTQ for Palestine, queers for Palestine. You've seen all of these ridiculous signs as if these individuals knew anything about so-called Palestinian culture. You can't be LGBTQIAP+. You can't. Just doesn't mend with the society. Yet you've got a bunch of leftist brain dead morons running around the United States, standing in major Democrat cities, blocking roadways, talking about freeing Palestine, like whatever the hell that means. That doesn't even mean anything. But that's been the talking point. That's been the narrative. We've seen a plethora of attacks on Jewish students on college campuses, where they're being barred from going to class. You remember the situation in New York City last year? The historic Columbia University, where you had Jewish students that couldn't go to class, couldn't go to the school library. I mean, they're paying $200,000 a year to go to the school, but they're not allowed to go to the library. Why? Because a bunch of paid activists and then a bunch of brain-dead idiot leftists are standing in front of blocking the building and saying, oh, well, look, at you're Jewish. You're not allowed on our campus anymore. I mean, it's the most absurd thing in the world. And all of this to say it's not surprising or shocking that things have risen to the level where you've got an Egyptian national who Joe Biden allowed to stay in the country illegally that decided he was going to light people on fire in Boulder, Colorado yesterday. I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked. This is the unfortunate reality of allowing this stuff to go unchecked. This is the unfortunate reality that the Democrat Party has created because, once again, they have a major problem. They are unwilling to face the very far-left progressive radicals in the face. They're just unwilling to deal with the kind of insane nonsense that comes out of the far-left wing of their party. They are controlled by it, even though it's not the majority, even though it's not what a vast majority of Democrats think or feel. They feel the need because this group is so vocal. This group is so good at activating, and I'll throw that in air quotes. A lot of it is paid agitators. But this group is so good at activating and is so loud that the Democrat Party, I will argue, for all intents and purposes, feels hostage to this wing of the Democrat Party. They have refused to come out and put this stuff in line. There are many individuals within the Democrat Party that have had the opportunity to use their platform, to use their megaphone that they have as elected officials to call this nonsense out, to tell the far left wing of their party that the things that they are saying are out of touch. The things that they are saying are disgusting and disgraceful. I'll remind you, it was less than just 2 weeks ago that you had two members of the Israeli embassy that were gunned down and killed, leaving a museum in Washington, D.C. That was a premeditated attack. You had the Pennsylvania governor in Josh Shapiro, who is Jewish, you had his mansion firebombed as pro-Palestinian, so-called pro-Palestinian extremists torched the governor's mansion. I mean, it's insane. All of this stuff is taking place on the left. All of this stuff is happening because there are no adults in the room on the left. They are being the adults in the room, the leaders, the people that are supposed to be in charge of the Democrat Party are supposed to be setting the narrative, laying out for the rest of the party, this is kind of what we're doing, have failed to speak substantially about this. And you've already heard the comments. You'll hear people like Chuck Schumer and other leaders on the left, Hakeem Jeffries and others, come out and say, we denounce these attacks of violence. So you denounce the attacks of violence after they happen. But you sit on your hands for years on end as anti-Semitism grows in your own party. You don't have a damn word to say about it. And that's why, again, I'm not surprised that this situation took place at all. So this guy, 45-year-old Mohammed Solomon, decided that he was going to light people on fire yesterday in Boulder, Colorado. He was heard yelling "Free, free Palestine" and other anti-Israeli slogans during the attack on victims aging from the ranging in age from 52 to 88 years old. Online records this morning showed that Solomon has been booked in the Boulder County Jail on multiple felony charges, including one count of explosives or incendiary devices used during a felony, as well as two counts of first-degree murder. The circumstances surrounding the murder charges are unclear, since authorities have not announced whether any victims have succumbed to their injuries, and he's currently being held on a $10 million bond. So walking us back to where we were yesterday, it unfolded around 1:30 local time in Boulder, Colorado yesterday. That's when Boulder police were called to the county courthouse on Pearl Street for reports of a man who had a weapon and was setting people on fire. That's according to Boulder Police Chief Steve Redfern. The attack took place near an event put on by the Run for Their Lives, which is a grassroots group that organizes run and walk events calling for the release of Israeli hostages. According to Fox News Digital, according to the group who released a statement to Fox News Digital, they say, quote, Run for Their Lives is an apolitical global organization with a sole mission of walking peacefully to raise awareness for the 58 hostages still being held in captivity by Hamas in Gaza. Run for Their Lives said that it had been holding events every week since October the 15th, 2023, without any violent incidents until today, that being yesterday. It called the plight of the remaining hostages an international humanitarian crisis and said that there is a collective responsibility to release all of them. The organization said, we call on world leaders to do everything they can to ensure the swift return home of each of the 58 hostages. Run for Our Lives remains committed to our mission until all of the hostages are returned home. As I mentioned, the suspect who was also yelling, free, free Palestine, that tends to be a popular phrase there on the left, was also yelling, how many children have you killed? He was also quoted by saying, we have to end Zionists. They are killers. That's according to analysis of the video that was provided to Fox News that they were able to transcribe. Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser said the attack, which happened on the eve, yesterday afternoon, appears to have been motivated by hate. Oh, thanks. Great. He wrote in a statement, from what we know, this attack appears to be a hate crime given that the group was targeted. People may have different views about world events about the Israeli-Hamas conflict, but violence is never the answer to settling differences. What a ridiculous quote. This is the Colorado Attorney General. Now, you know well about the state of Colorado. It is a progressive bastion. And the Colorado Attorney General, of course, is a Democrat, and he's been in that office now for like 5 or 6 years. He's been in there a pretty substantial amount of time. And this part of the reason that things like this are going to continue to happen are quotes like this. You've got this very weak attempt at the start to say, well, it appears that it's a hate attack, and saying, oh, but you know, people have different views. Why is that relevant here? What is the relevance as the Colorado Attorney General to come out and say people have different views on the Israeli-Hamas conflict? That's not the issue at hand that we're discussing. We're discussing a guy who was illegally in the United States of America, who decided that he was going to set people on fire in your state, that he was going to kill people in your state. It's got nothing, I mean, yes, it does have to do with the Israeli-Hamas conflict. But there is absolutely no way that you can wrap your head around why the Colorado Attorney General needs to make this statement at the end, saying, quote, people may have differing views about world events in the Israeli-Hamas conflict, but violence is never the answer to settling differences. It's weak. It's a weak, I would argue, chicken shit response to what's going on. And again, it precisely exemplifies the issue that the left is dealing with right now. They're afraid to come out and say, we are not in favor of people burning each other alive because they disagree with what's going on in an international conflict. They just won't do it. They know that they need the support of these far left radical groups. They know that they need the support of these far left radical extremists in elections. They don't want to have to deal with them, but they don't have a choice. The Democrat Party is currently struggling big time as it relates to its coalition of voters. It is struggling, and I've documented this well. We've talked about this ad nauseum. They are dealing with what I would argue is somewhat of an identity crisis and a civil war within that own party. And so they need to keep as many of their little groups happy as possible. They have to do that. And it's unfortunate that they feel that they have to do that, but they do. And the sad reality is this is the result. This is what FBI Director Dan Bongino had to say. This is more of the statement that I would have hoped from the Colorado Attorney General. Quote, our leadership team on the ground in Boulder will be updating you shortly on the attack in Boulder. This was 7 o'clock last night. He says, quote, this act of terror is being investigated as an act of ideologically motivated violence based on early information, the evidence and the witness accounts. We will speak clearly on these incidents when the facts warrant it. That's the kind of statement I'm looking for. There's no reason to say, oh, well, it's okay for people to have disagreements. Disagreements are good. This, that, and the other. What? Why? When you put that statement out, I would argue that you are welcoming this kind of rhetoric to continue. When you feel the need to say it's okay to have differing viewpoints, you don't have to state that. You're the freaking Attorney General of Colorado. Denounce the attack. Say that you're going to use the full might. Now, obviously, this is going to be investigated by the feds, but come out and say you're going to use the full might and all of the power entrusted in you as the Colorado Attorney General to hold this individual accountable and fight for the victims that had to deal with it. That's the statement. There's no reason to put out this BS about, oh, everybody's allowed to have disagreements. I mean, the left just doesn't get it. The left just doesn't get it. So let's go back to the individual, the 45-year-old Egyptian national. The Department of Homeland Security and Immigration and Customs Enforcement have confirmed that Solomon is in the country illegally as a visa overstayer who came in during the Biden administration. Here's the details, according to Fox News, who I believe has this exclusively, or at least had it exclusively last night. He allegedly flew into the United States on August the 27th, 2022, arriving at Los Angeles International Airport on a B1, B2 non-immigrant visa. Solomon was authorized to stay through February of 2023. It was about a six-month visa. That's when it ran out. But he never left, according to officials. On September the 29th, about a month after he got to the country in 2022, he filed a claim, possibly for asylum. On March 29th, 2023, now I'm no mathematician here, but kind of looking in, I'll use my hands here to do some counting. So he was supposed to leave February 26th. He did file an asylum claim, but they didn't rule on anything until March. So let's go back. We have the months of January is number one, right? One. Then you have February. That's number two. January, February. Then March. Yes, March is number three. So the guy was supposed to leave in February, filed in what we'll likely to find out is a BS asylum claim less than a month after he was in the United States. stayed past the time, and it wasn't until March that they ruled on him. Only this was a month after he was already supposed to be out of the country. So on March 29th, 2023, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services under the Biden administration gave him work authorization, which was valid through March of this year, March of 2025. So let's assume everything was above board. His work authorization ended 3 months ago. Now, probably more like 2 months ago, looking at the dates in this, but his work authorization had once again already ended. Police initially evacuated three surrounding blocks and later expanded the evacuation area. A lot more details about the shooting, or about the firebombing, I guess is the best way you could call it itself. Many other individuals speaking out. Secretary of State Marco Rubio saying on X, "Terror has no place in our great country." The Israeli ambassador to the UN saying that, you know, talking about anti-Semitism and what's continuing to go on there. Some comments from some Colorado representatives coming in as well. But all of it essentially, to me, kind of falls on deaf ears. You have got a major problem with this kind of rhetoric taking place on the left. You've got a major problem where individuals on the left have seemingly no interest in quelling any of this. They have no interest in stopping this kind of rhetoric because they don't want to piss off their voters. So here's the situation. This is what went on. Here are pictures of the Egyptian national holding what are likely two bottles of some sort of clear liquor that you could light on fire, probably some sort of vodka or something like that. Looks exactly like what you would expect with a Molotov cocktail. That's exactly what he's holding. He is standing shirtless, yelling at a group of protesters. He then manages to light these sort of incendiary devices and hurl them at the crowd, lighting individuals on fire. And there are multiple pictures of this guy yelling and screaming, talking about free Palestine, so on and so forth. And then you can finally see here the individual arrested and apprehended by law enforcement. And that's the situation. It's a miserable situation. It's a horrific situation. And more than anything else, it could have completely been avoided. But unfortunately, that's exactly the problem. The left is unwilling to avoid these situations. Final comment coming in from White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller. He wrote on X yesterday, quote, "A terror attack was committed in Boulder, Colorado by an illegal alien. He was granted a tourist visa via the Biden administration, and then he illegally overstayed that visa. In response, the Biden administration gave him a work permit. Suicidal migration must be reversed." Some very strong comments coming out there from Stephen Miller. As of before we started the show, about 30 minutes ago, was popping around social media. I had not yet seen any additional commentary from President Donald Trump. I can imagine that this will be something that will take place today. Let's see if I can pull up the president's schedule. I'm not sure exactly what the president's schedule is going to be looking like for today. Doesn't seem like he's got anything crazy going on. He's got a meeting with J.D. Vance, a private lunch with him at 1 o'clock. And it does not appear that there's, at least as of right now, there's no press briefing scheduled. That probably and very well could change. So if we get any reaction from that, we'll, of course, pass it along to you coming up here tomorrow morning. And we'll have to see what President Trump says. And obviously the background of this individual who, again, illegally in the country, was not supposed to be here, overstayed a work visa for whatever reason. I guess the reason is clear. The previous administration was weak on immigration. They allowed him to stay in the country, and lo and behold, what ends up happening? He's trying to burn people alive at an event in Boulder, Colorado yesterday. A miserable situation, but as I've stated before, and I'll continue to state, not a surprising one when you continue to watch the ratcheting up of the rhetoric on the left. So where are the major Democrat leaders? Where's Chuck Schumer? Where's Hakeem Jeffries? Where's the rest? Where's Joe Biden? Where's the rest of these individuals standing up and speaking against this? They are unwilling to do so. They don't want to piss off their radical far left base and alienate them because they know that they need them in the midterm elections this year, and they know they're going to need them in the presidential election a couple of years down the road. So they don't want to rock the boat. They are just going to allow this kind of rhetoric, this kind of nonsense, which is coming almost exclusively from the left, to continue. Now, as I mentioned earlier on, you're allowed to have criticism of Israel. You're allowed to state maybe they're going a little bit too overboard with the things that they're doing in the Gaza Strip. You're allowed to be critical of some of the influence that groups like AIPAC have on the U.S. government. All of that is fair game. When you start trying to light people on fire because you disagree with their stance on the issue, when you decide that you're going to kill people because of that disagreement, that's where the problem is. And in this case, this guy was not being critical of U.S. senators and House members being beholden and feeling like they need to work with AIPAC. That wasn't the case at all. This individual was yelling about free, free Palestine. But that was his narrative. That was what was important to him when he was yelling about the Zionists that he wanted to kill at this event yesterday. We'll keep an eye on the details. I'm sure this is not going to escape the news cycle very quickly. The left's going to try, believe me. They will try and make this as quick of a news story as possible because it doesn't paint them in a good light. I would imagine between the White House and other alternative media outlets, this is something that's probably not going to go anywhere anytime soon. We'll keep an eye on it right here. I want to remind you and thank the law group this morning for their continued support of the show, and remind you that when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group right here in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing an issue like a divorce, navigating a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as promptly as possible. Located in downtown Wilmington, they're just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088, or online their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group for their continued support of the show. Alongside them and all of our great Patreon members, allows me the freedom and the ability to do this show here each and every weekday morning. If we encourage you to check them out again at their website, lawgroupnc.com. On the other side, it was a very interesting weekend internationally, as well as Ukraine arguably having their largest offensive on Russia since the beginning of that war. Those details coming up here in just a few minutes as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Monday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on a Monday morning, the first Monday of June. Thanks for spending some time with us. Streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, and X 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Turning to international news this morning, a very interesting set of circumstances unfolding over the weekend as Ukrainian forces destroyed dozens of Russian warplanes with many are arguing and calling the largest drone attack on air bases, which was deep within Russian territory on Sunday. After all was said and done, Ukrainian forces destroyed 40 aircraft in the attack, with an official saying it took more than a year to orchestrate. Russian defense ministries confirmed the attack on Sunday, saying it struck 5 airfields. The operation saw drones transported in containers carried by trucks deep into Russian territory. The drones reportedly hit 41 planes stationed at several airfields yesterday afternoon. Moscow had previously used some of the planes to launch missiles at Ukraine, so obviously that's why it was such a strategic target. The White House told Fox News that President Donald Trump and his administration were not warned of the attack ahead of time, and Ukraine says President Vladimir Zelensky personally oversaw the drone attack, with Zelensky saying, quote, "We are doing everything to protect our independence, our state, and our people." Man, where do you go from here? I mean, I hate to say this because this is obviously a major international conflict, but I really don't even have anything else to add to this. I mean, both of these countries, neither of which want peace. I feel very certain this morning, talking to you, reading the news over the day yesterday, looking at everything that I've seen over the last couple of months, and I feel confident this morning to say neither of these sides want peace. Russia had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago, specifically the Russian president Vladimir Putin, had the ability to go to Turkey and meet with Zelensky, shake his hand, and figure out how the hell they end this thing. He refused to do so. Zelensky, for whatever reason, continues to run his mouth on a variety of occasions, antagonizing the Russian president. Then this massive drone attack on Sunday. Russia is obviously going to retaliate, and it's not going to be pretty. This is a mess. And the craziest part about this, today, Ukrainian and Russian officials are set to meet for another round of ceasefire talks. Can you imagine what those conversations are going to look like? I mean, if you're the Russian diplomats that were sent to have these ceasefire talks, what is your mood and what is your attitude going to be? What do you think the Russian side is going to have to say when they show up a day after 40-some-odd planes in Russia were blown up? Of course, those talks are not going to be substantial. Of course, nothing is going to come of these ceasefire talks that are taking place right now. And it's unfortunate because I'm not sure that there's anything left for President Trump. I genuinely don't believe there's anything else he can do. And I don't say this lightly, but at the place that we stand right now, with the information that we have available, what does President Trump even do with this? The Russian president is too prideful to ever give up. He's not going to move on this. The Ukrainian president, for whatever reason, continues to antagonize Russia. Not unprovoked, but continues the antagonistic nature. It's never going to end. At this point in time, as I sit here this morning, I do not see any sort of off-ramp for this. And I would be shocked, and I hope I'm dead wrong about this, but I would be shocked if Russia does not respond in a very, very substantial nature. Because the drone attacks yesterday was massive on the Russian military. It destroyed 40 some out of their planes. They destroyed massive, massive strategic assets in Russia. And you can guarantee with everything that you've seen over the last couple of years that Russia is not just going to respond briefly with a couple little things here and there. Russia is probably going to forcefully respond to this. And then what's the result going to be? You're going to have Zelensky going on international TV talking about how this is an unbelievable situation. And he can't believe that this is continuing, trying to pull places like the United States back into it. And I think we have crossed the line at this point where there just needs to be no more U.S. involvement. I think President Trump doesn't like to lose. President Trump doesn't like to not see things through to fruition. But at this point, I just don't know what else there is. I don't know what else he can say. I don't know what else he can do with both sides to make this stop. I guess at this point, and it troubles me to say this because we've seen the bloodshed. It's been well documented how many hundreds of thousands of people have lost their lives, that they just need to continue to fight it out. And that's just what it's going to have to be. Because there's no off-ramp. There's no way that this ends. Neither side is willing to actually back down. And with either side unwilling to do that, you can't have talks of a ceasefire. You can't have talks of what would then go on to some sort of permanent treaty or permanent truce. It's just never going to happen because neither side is willing to start. They are unwilling to even begin the conversation. They say they are, both sides, specifically Zelensky, always talks about how he wants peace. He wants a peace deal. He wants this. He wants that. But it doesn't play out. Doesn't end up happening. Says he wants a peace deal, and then we find out that he has been strategically behind this attack for a year. Meticulous planning for a year on this strategic attack on these Russian planes. So what is it? You want the off-ramp? You want this to come to an end? Or do you just want to continue to go tit for tat with Russia? It makes absolutely no sense. It's incredibly frustrating to watch. And at this point, I don't know what there's left to do for the U.S. president. I don't know what he can say. I don't know who he can bring to the bargaining table. These two just want to fight it out indefinitely and continue to watch their people get slaughtered. Hate to say it, but then just let it be. No amount of money and seemingly no amount of U.S. intervention is going to change anything. Sanctions are not going to have an impact. There's seemingly no deal that can be brokered from the U.S. side. And that's an unfortunate situation because you're talking about regular everyday citizens in both countries that are having to deal with this ongoing war, that are having to deal with the unimaginable loss of life that has gone on now for 3+ years with no off-ramp, no end in sight. A couple of weeks ago, I said on the show, you know, it looks like we might be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. That was obviously just a car, some headlights moving in the other direction. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Unless something dramatically happens, unless there is some drastic change of heart on both sides of the aisle, I just don't see it. I have no idea where you go from here. I have no idea how you begin to tackle this issue any more than you already have by trying to bring these groups to the table. Trying to bring the Russians to the table, bring the Ukrainians to the table. That has proven, unfortunately, to not be very successful. And something that President Donald Trump is, I'm sure, pretty pissed off about. He campaigned, and one of the major things that he talked about was providing and bringing an end to this war. Now, you can say that he's failed on that. You can, of course, and the left has for months now. You see the comments on social media claiming, oh, this is, Trump failed on this. You can say he's failed on it all you want. That's fine. What you can't argue is that he did more within just a couple of days of being in the White House, being once again the president of the United States. He did more in just a couple of days than Joe Biden and the Democrats did in 2.5+ years. They had the opportunity to do something. They had the opportunity to end this thing before these lines were so clearly drawn in the sand. And they sat on their ass and they did nothing. They sat alongside and watched and continued to write blank check after blank check after blank check to Ukraine. Never conversing with Russia. Joe Biden never picked up the phone and called his Russian counterpart. Why? Because he'll make the argument, I don't, listen here, Jack, I don't talk with criminals. Okay, great. I'm glad I hope you can sleep well at night because you don't talk with criminals. The reality is you needed a strong U.S. leader when this thing first began, if it began at all. You needed a strong U.S. leader to get on this thing quickly so it didn't divulge into the situation that it is now. Because what you're looking at right now is something that is seemingly never going to end. I just don't see it. So that's the latest this morning. I wish I had some better information to pass alongside you. I don't really have anything else to say. We've talked about it ad nauseum. We continue to discuss the issue, and there just doesn't seem to be any significant movement. So that's where we stand this morning. We'll wait and see with what Russ's response is. It's probably not going to be pretty for Ukraine. I can almost promise you that. Here's an interesting story for you this morning out of a new poll at CNN, and it kind of goes back to one of our earlier topics this morning. The vast majority of Americans don't see the Democrat Party as a party with strong leaders that can get things done. It's pretty interesting. Fewer than 50 of America's Americans view Democrats as the party with strong leadership that is able to get things done, with Republicans scoring roughly double on both numbers of those metrics, according to a new poll. The poll conducted by CNN and SSRS Research, which was taken last month, asked the various respondents which party has strong leaders. 40% of American adults said the Republicans, compared to just 16% that said Democrats. The majority of that was 43% that said neither. Asked about which party can, quote, get things done, 19% felt that Democrats could do that, compared to 36% who said that Republicans were capable of doing it, with 44% who felt neither. All of that comes as a record share of Americans, 58%, want to see the federal government step up and do more to tackle problems vetting the country, which is a 30-year high figure, according to the CNN poll. Generally speaking, over recent decades, a majority of respondents have continued to struggle with their support, not of the government, but just frustrated that they don't feel that things are getting more done. And you look at these numbers, and there's a couple of things that are rather interesting. We went over the first two. The party of extremism, I thought that was an interesting response. Democrat Party, the respondents, 30% say the Democrat Party, 41% say the Republican Party. The party of change, 32% say the Republicans, 25% Democrats. And party of the middle class, now this is a tough one for the left, 34% for Democrats, 32% for Republicans. And that's almost an even split on that last issue. And that's a tough one for the left to deal with, because they have built, I would argue, essentially their entire identity and brand around being the party of the middle class, the party of the working class, right? It's always been Democrats are with the regular everyday middle class people in the country, and the Republicans are just a bunch of rich elitist country club folk, right? That's been the difference between the two parties for the vast majority of the last, 40 years. That's what the public perception has been, and that's something that the Democrat Party has worked very hard to keep, that they're the party of the middle class. They're the party of the working man across America. But the reality is that's not the case anymore. It may have been true 60 years ago. It may have been true 40 years ago. It's not true now. The Democrat Party is not the party of the middle class. And this poll, these responses very clearly show that the Democrat Party has lost that coalition. And it's amazing to think, and you've got to kind of wrap your head around this one, because it's what I'm about to say makes inherently no sense. But it took a billionaire in Donald Trump to make the Republican Party the party of the middle class. I know it doesn't sound logical, but it was Donald Trump, the multi-billionaire real estate tycoon out of New York City, the guy from The Apprentice, the guy from WWE, the guy from Saturday Night Live. He is the one that has made the party of the middle class. And I know that doesn't sound like it makes any sense, but it's obvious that that's what's happened. You've seen a transformation in involvement in the Republican Party over the last almost decade at this point, and a lot of that is in thanks to President Donald Trump. The vast majority of that is in part because Donald Trump, even being the billionaire that he is, has been able to resonate and connect with more middle-class Americans than I would argue any other politician in modern American history. And it shouldn't be that way. It doesn't make sense. You look at a guy that has had the unbelievable successes that he has unbelievable wealth that he has. Yet you go to any of his rallies, you go to his events, and it is not packed with people wearing seersuckers and smoking cigars and your country club folk that have taken the Sunday off to go stand at a Trump rally. No, It is full of everyday working class, middle class Americans all over the place. I've been to dozens of Trump events, both public rallies and private events. It's the same crowd every single time. It's middle class America. And he has done such a good job of connecting with those folks that when you look at these numbers, party of the middle class, 34% believe it's the Democrat Party, 32% believe it's the Republican Party. Boy, they are screwed. And then you look at the questions about strong leaders and the parties that can get things done. It's a disastrous number for the Democrats. Disastrous. They think the Republican Party has strong 40% of the American voting population thinks the Republican Party is the one with strong leaders. That's a disaster for the Democrats. But it's not surprising. The party that can get things done, only 19% of people believe that the Democrat Party can get things done. That's not a surprising number either. This has been the big issue that the left has been facing. They don't have very strong, broad coalitions on anything. As you've heard me say time and time again, their ideas, for the large part, are atrocious. Their ideas suck. They're very unpopular with vast majorities of the American population. So you look at these numbers, and yeah, you know, while they're real bad, I'm not surprised by this at all. As I stated earlier, when you're talking about some of the left-wing extremism that continues as it relates to, you know, free Palestine, this, that, and the other, this is a party that is struggling with struggling from an identity crisis. This is a party that is struggling to figure out what their core issues are and how they connect those core issues with the majority of the American people, right? Because that's what you have to do to win elections. Now, of course, when you're looking at congressional elections, you've got to look at, you know, districts and things of that nature, but you want more people believing what your thought is than the other side. I think that's and when you look at, you know, a political issue, that's a pretty good stance to take. You want to have more people supporting your ideas than the opposition's ideas. The Democrat Party doesn't have that right now. It is blatantly obvious. Even the question about party of change, the Republicans are leading in that. The only thing that the Democrats can look at this poll and see as a huge winning thing is the party of extremism. And I'm not surprised by that response either. Since Donald Trump won in November, and even before that, the media has been incessant with its discussions about Trump is a fascist. Elon Musk is an unelected fascist that's taking over the federal government. Right? You've heard these things. It's the quintessential definition of the boy who cried wolf. You use these phrases, you use these terms to describe everybody and everything associated with Donald Trump and the Republicans. It no longer carries any meaning. Donald Trump is not a fascist. Elon Musk is not a fascist. These guys, in the case of Trump, was elected by the majority of the American people, both by the Electoral College and the popular vote. I always want to make sure I bring that up. Both of those metrics, even though the Electoral College is the only one you need, was able to convince the American people he had the best ideas for this country moving forward. And he tapped very smart, intelligent people like Elon Musk to help him with that. Doesn't make him a fascist. Doesn't make him an authoritarian. Doesn't make him a ruthless leader. All of these things that they try to equate. It's just noise. But it does have an impact in polling. Right? When you turn on the TV every night at 6 o'clock and you hear these subtle messages for years on end about Trump and fascism. There's the most absurd thing in the world, but it's subliminal messaging, right? You say these things over and over and over again, and you eventually people start believing it's true. And then people's gut reaction, that's how subliminal messaging works. Their gut reaction is, oh yeah, Trump's a fascist. Oh yeah, he's an extremist. Oh yeah, he's a whatever. Because it's been subliminally beaten into their head and programmed into their head for years on end by media. Every story you read, every newscast you watch, oh, hey, look at this, breach of power. President Donald Trump in the Oval Office is taking over the entire federal government. Look at all their lawsuits. That's what all of them claim. Overreach of power. It's absurd. This is a very, very bad poll for CNN. This shows that the Democrats are really struggling to hit really what I would argue is any issues right now. Really struggling to meet on anything. Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader, was on CNN's State of the Union yesterday responding to this poll. He said, quote, "We don't have the presidency right now, so that's always going to challenge a few months after a presidential election. But we have to continue to make the case. One, that Democrats, of course, are a party that is determined to make life more affordable for everyday Americans, and saying, understandably, there's real frustration amongst the American people." Ooh, that's not a good quote there from old Hakeem Jeffries. You don't want to be admitting that. You want to have something better than to say, oh, there's a lot of frustration amongst the American people. What are you talking about? What's the frustration over, Hakeem? Can't be the economy. You guys spent years talking about how the economy wasn't really the economy. You spent years talking about how the economic frustration and pressure that the American people were feeling wasn't real, wasn't true. So what are they so frustrated about? You can't lie about that issue for years on end to cover your own boy in Joe Biden. And then claim, well, actually, the American people are very frustrated. Yeah, of course they are. That's why you guys got your asses handed to you in November. It's why Republicans control all three levels of levels of government right now. They control the House, they control the Senate, and they control the White House, the executive branch. It's a miserable situation they're in right now. The midterm election stuff is really going to start heating up as we get into the latter parts of the summer. It's going to be interesting to watch and see, especially in states like North Carolina, where we have a Senate race. I'm very curious what the Democrat messaging is going to be. Do they go back to the well and pull out, you know, a dictator, authoritarian, fascist, all of that stuff? Or do they try and maybe actually resonate with the American voters on things like the economy? It's going to be very interesting and fascinating to watch. We'll keep an eye on it right here on the Nick Craig Show. Quick reminder one more time, 4 p.m. this afternoon, the new Hanover County Board of Commissioners is set to meet at 24 North 3rd Street in downtown Wilmington. That is where they will be discussing their county budget. There is a public comment period that will be taking place. I encourage you to, the meeting starts at 4, so if you can get there probably between 3 and 3:30, make sure you get your name on the list. Make sure you tell the new Hanover County Commissioners no to their proposed budget, which will include a major property tax increase that could cost you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year extra here across New Hanover County. 4 o'clock this afternoon down at the New Hanover County Historic Courthouse. Look forward to seeing you there, and we'll cover what details come of that tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show. Once again, thanks to the Law Group for their continued support. Give them a call at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. We appreciate their support of the show. Appreciate you joining us live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back tomorrow morning right here for the Nick Craig Show.